Good? Can you hear me? All right. It's a privilege to be here today, to be in church. I'm glad to see people. The Sunday before, we were out of town last week, so we weren't here. We had to go out of town for a wedding. But the previous Sunday, you know, it was slim pickings, right? So it's good to see faces. It's good to see people back and hear people getting better and healing up after, you know, what happened, and it's exciting to hear people praise the Lord. It's exciting to be here. So we're going to look at some stuff today, and Pastor, you know, Chris, we just kind of talked, and he said, hey, will you do the morning service, you know? So I got to thinking, and then I prayed, and we were driving back from North Carolina, and, you know, what am I going to talk about? You know, what does the Lord want me to talk about? And relationship came to mind, the word relationship. And I think part of that is God works in us where we need to be worked on. And for me, a relationship improvement plan with the Lord Jesus Christ is what he'd have me to do. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to contrast that with a couple things. If you kind of gathered that from the text in the bulletin. So we'll pray and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this message, God, is helpful to those that can hear today, Lord, within earshot. And God, it certainly was a blessing to me, Lord, to consider some things. Lord, I do thank you for the work that you've done and the many families that were afflicted with sickness. And God, and the folks that you kept from that, Lord, and the folks you pulled through that, Lord. There's many needs in our church family, God. I just lift those up to you and look forward to what you'd have for us today. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So let's start with a question or a few questions to consider this morning, and obviously asking myself the same thing. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? In other words, what motivates you specifically? What drives you to serve the Lord? Why do we serve the Lord? Why do we not serve the Lord sometimes? Why are we here? You know, what made you come here this morning? I mean, most of us are adults up here. Our parents maybe didn't, you know, all right, come on, let's go. It's time for church, you know. We came here for a reason. We came here for a purpose. And so I guess part of this is examining that purpose in our own life. Why do we come back for an evening service? Or why don't we? You know, why don't we return sometimes? If we're not hindered by work or other reasons, why don't we come back? Or Wednesday, or serve in a different ministry? And again, what drives what is our driving purpose for what we do? Ultimately, I guess the question is it a religion or a tradition that drives what you do? Are you here on Sunday morning because you always came on Sunday morning? And that's not a bad thing. Or is it because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a want, a need to be here to serve him in this capacity of corporate worship. People say, well, we don't need to be in church to serve. You know, well, that's true. I mean, you can worship God at home, but there's an importance to being here. There's an importance to serving in a ministry or in your own self when you're at the grocery store, or you're going to work, or you have that mindset of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's your main goal in life, is to bring glory to God, right? We sung about God's glory. So I guess that's my question, is ultimately, does your traditional religion drive your service, or is it a relationship with the Lord? And we see that, if you want to go ahead and just to kind of give a backdrop, and we're going to be flipping through to a bunch of different verses, or a handful of different verses, but go ahead and open to Mark 7, and we'll just read that whole passage there from verses 1 through 9, just to kind of get started. So Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, we'll begin in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, the unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well, hath Esaias prophesied? View hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And so that's kind of paints the picture for the purpose today is to kind of see where we are, right? Are we following a tradition for the sake of a religion, or are we following the Lord Jesus Christ personally in our walk on a day-to-day basis? Religion, defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is a personal set or institutionalized system of religion, attitudes, beliefs, and practices. It's a commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance, a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. And do not confuse when I say that with doctrine. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is our foundation. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things we do, and maybe we don't know why we do them. You know, routines we get into, why do we do them? Not doctrine. That's not what I'm saying. Relationship, on the other hand, is defined as a relation connecting or binding participants in a relationship. Like a kinship. And I can't help but think of the book of Ruth and Boaz. And we know that story of him as the kinship redeemer and that relation to Christ and us. But I like that word binding. It's a binding relation. A kinship. A kin, if you have kin, is a blood relation. A blood relation. And we have a blood relation with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at three things, and it's not a limited list. There's a multitude of things. But we're going to look at three things that are factors of our relationship or proofs of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That it is a relationship that we need. It's a relationship that we possess, that we need to take advantage of in our life as we walk day to day. So let's look at 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. But with the precious blood of Christ. That's where our redemption lays, right? We see that's clear. It is not with silver, it is not in gold, it is not in a religion or a denomination or a church house or a person. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It has to occur. It had to have occurred. It did occur. It's applied to our life as born again believers. The blood is applied to our life when we accept the Lord. We begin that relationship. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, right at the end of the verse, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood cleanseth from how much? Some sin? No, all sin. One of the best words in the whole Bible. All. We're studying aside in the book of James. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. All. That's hard to live. Right? Say easy preaching, hard living, right? That's hard to do sometimes. Romans 5:9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by the blood. There is a blood relationship between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a relationship. It's not do step 1, 2, 3. It's a relationship. We possess that with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear that our relationship is based on the blood. Now, a second factor, or a second thing we can look at is a relationship based on the adoption, right? Or when we get saved, we're legally made the son of children of God, right? We had this conversation with a cousin of mine, and it was a difficult situation. He was raised Catholic and believes he's got a religion. He does. He very much has a religion and a way that he thinks. And I tried to explain to him that the gospel. But anyway, the point was that he said, well, we're all children of God. We're all. It doesn't matter what. We're all children of God. And we're not. You know, we're creations of God. But there's got to be a decision made where we come into communion, into that relationship where there's an adoption made. There's blood applied. And we're legally, literally, the transaction is made. And we are, right, we have righteousness imputed to our account, right? That imputation, that is placed on, just like it's a transaction, a legal transaction that occurred. So go with me to Galatians real quick, Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to look at a couple verses there. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, there's a lot of stuff in there that's exceptional news. It's good news. So we see here that God sent his Son, Jesus, right, to redeem us that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because of this, we've received the Holy Spirit. And we're no more servant, but a son. We've been brought in, therefore an heir. An heir is entitled to receive, right? We're an heir of righteousness. We're an heir. One day, well, even in our, right now, we've received more than enough, more than we deserve. But we got a blessed hope that's coming. And we've got an earnest payment, right, in the Holy Spirit. And that's exciting. So anyway, let's further look at this. So we see this in Galatians. So flip with me a couple pages over to Ephesians chapter 1. I like reading from the Bible. I mean, I can talk all day. I get paid to talk for a living. But I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear what this says, you know? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. I might have said chapter 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And so we have a lot of things in there that, I mean, we have the adoption of children. We've been made a child of God. Christ brought to himself, right? We've been accepted in the Beloved, and we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Right, so it's through grace. We understand that by faith through grace, does this all happen? Does this transaction occur? So we have a relationship based on an adoption. We've been made a child of God. We've been made a son or a daughter. right? We've been made that upon that transaction that occurred when we accepted the Lord. Let's look at one more passage dealing with that in Romans. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. And you see the Holy Spirit involved in this, certainly. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's hard to believe, but it's right there. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we've been brought into union. You can see in that we continue this truth of adoption, this truth of redemption through his blood. So we have not only a blood relationship, but we have been brought in as a child of God. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A person must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have salvation, in order to have that in your life. A third thing we can look at, and we saw that in Galatians 4:4 when we read it earlier, is that there had to be, I don't know how to say this. I'll just say what the verse says. It says he was made of a woman, made of a woman. He became flesh. God was incarnated in Christ. Flesh. We are flesh. God humbled himself. We'll look at that. And came. That had to occur. There's that connection between us and the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and humbled himself and was incarnate, was become flesh. We see that truth originate all the way back in Genesis 3:15. You don't have to turn there, but it basically says, well, it does say, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed being, right, the Lord coming. We see that in 3:15. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we see that back then, and then we have the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 that tells us, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have this prophecy in Isaiah that is then fulfilled in the Gospels with Christ's birth. And let's go to John 1, familiar but very good passage. John 1, we can see that. John 1:1. So we have the deity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're up here. They're on the same, right? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So we have the Word, we have the deity of Christ, we have the pre-incarnation work of Christ. And then if we jump down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh. So we have this incarnation. Christ became flesh. God in the flesh. We can see that scarlet thread. If we go all the way back to Genesis and we follow, we've been studying that, right? So we started that in our Sunday school class a year ago or so. That answers in Genesis, whatever. So we've been going from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the Old Testament. And I'll tell you what, that's been really cool to look at that. And it really brought out that Christ, the preservation that God did through the Old Testament to then culminate in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that in Joseph, and you see that in all these different stories and accounts and in real life, right? That stuff really happened, right? I think we're all in agreement. It's not fairy tale, right? Praise the Lord. It's true. And we see that come all the way through, and we see that preservation of the lineage of Christ through Judah and all the way up until he comes for a purpose, for redemption. We have a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, we have this relationship is based on his human incarnation. God humbled himself. He took on flesh. I think you know where we're going. Go to Philippians. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Look in chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. The Bible says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He did that. He did that for you, he did that for me, he did that for everyone that will accept him. He did that for everyone. Even if they don't want to accept him, they did it for them, you know? That's crazy. We see that. We must never forget in that he's both fully God and fully man. Right? Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He humbled himself. He took on flesh for you and me. And he came and he bore our sin and the death of the cross for us. And so as we consider these three ways that I brought forth, it's certainly not an exhaustive list. I mean, there's multitudes of ways that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But let's go back to the question we started with. You know, why do we do what we do? Why are you motivated to do the things that you do in service to the Lord? Right? Sometimes, I mean, maybe not even the way we always do it. We might even know all these things, but get in a habit. Get in a routine. You know, okay, run to Van Wednesday. Run to Van Wednesday. Run to Van Wednesday. Run to Van Wednesday. Right? Why? Am I doing it for the Lord? Am I doing it to seek souls? And to save kids, or am I doing it to drive the van on Wednesday? You know? Am I teach Sunday school? I got to teach Sunday school. Got to teach Sunday school. And I know we all have times where we go through things. We get a little bit burned out. We get a little bit this, a little bit that. But let's stop and think about that. You know, it's our reasonable service. You know, that reminds me of Romans 12. When I first got saved, that Romans 12, 1 and 2 was like, it just jumped off the page at me. But Romans 12, 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So it is our reasonable service to serve the Lord Jesus Christ only because he's the Lord. I mean, that's it. It doesn't even matter. What is the passage? I just came to mind and then went. Serving the Lord regardless. Oh, I think it's Daniel. Daniel or somebody help me. Anyway, they say basically, it might have been when they went into the furnace. It might have been Shadrach, Meshach. Anyway, the point is, they said, "I don't care if God doesn't deliver us. We're still going to serve him anyway." All right? So forgive me for forgetting the reference. But that's our mentality. Regardless of what God does in our life, regardless if he heals us or he doesn't heal us, regardless if he blesses or he blesses in a different way than we think, right? He's still blessing, but we've got to serve him. We've got to do it based on a relationship that we have with him, not out of a routine, not out of because we were raised that way, not out of because the church says that, because we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're born again, you have been quickened. You have been made alive. You have been purchased with the blood. You've been redeemed. You've been made a son, a child of God, an heir to righteousness. You've been brought into communion with God. You have a relationship with the Lord. Let's live like that. Let's live like that on a daily basis. Let's go back where we started. This is relatively short today, so you got more time to shop next door. No, I'm just going quicker than I expected. Mark 7. Let's go back to Mark 7 where we started and pick up in verse 5. Verse 5 says, Then the Pharisees and scribe ask him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well, hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. And so the Pharisees here are questioning why the disciples obviously are eating, right, without the washing of their hands. They're holding to the traditions of the elders. They're holding those traditions. And then I guess my question to myself and to you all again is, are we guilty of this as we see it presented in the rest of this passage? Do we honor the Lord with our lips, but our heart is far from him? Do we come and sing, but our heart is far from the Lord? Do we pray or try to pray, and our heart is far from the Lord? Do we find ourselves sinning and falling into presumptuous sin because our heart is far from the Lord? It's hard to sin against somebody you're walking beside, you know? But many times I find myself straying from that. And I think if we're honest, we probably do too. Do we follow or teach, think about your roles, the commandments of men as if they were doctrine, right? Are there things that we do that aren't doctrine that we hold to as such in our life? Or is there traditions that we follow and that we do and that we go through the motions of because it's why we've always done them? So I guess I'm asking is, let's think about that. Let's stop and think. Why do we do what we do? Do we reject God's commandments and attempt to keep our own traditions? Say, well, yeah, I know the Bible doesn't really say this, but, well, that's how we've done it, so that seems acceptable. So I ask that we consider those things and why we do what we do. And to kind of finish out here, where does our faith rest? Where does our faith lie? I think most everybody in here understands and is saved, and I would like to assume that we understand that our faith rests in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not rest in an institutionalized system of religious beliefs. It does not rest in a church. It does not rest in a person. It rests in Christ alone. But maybe not. Maybe there's a few here. Maybe there's people online. Welcome, right? They're going to be watching this later probably. And many people have, you know, a split faith, you know, a faith in Christ and something, a faith in the Lord and baptism, a faith in the Lord and church this or that. So if you're here today as a believer and you find yourself wondering why you do what you do for the Lord, I just want to encourage you to focus on that sweet relationship that we have. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's rejoice in the joy of our salvation and take a step back and figure that, why are we doing this, right? Relationship gets strained, right? We can have strained relationships with each other. We can also have a strained relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but that's on us. And at times, no doubt that occurs, but God's always there. God's always waiting. Maybe you're here today or you're listening online and you realize that much of your faith is in a religion, is in a system of beliefs, or a particular denomination. You know, you place faith in, not the Lord 100%, but in a church system, in a way of doing things. We need to consider those things. So we saw earlier how we're not redeemed by said things, right? We're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver or gold. It was only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission or forgiveness of sin. So if that's you today, here or online, And I ask that you consider a relationship instead of a religion. I ask that you consider a relationship, a one-on-one relationship with the one and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's simple as realizing your need today. It's as simple as being just placing your faith, realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that you need saved, you need help, and that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you, that you can place your faith in Him alone for salvation. We can't do it ourselves. Right, you give the analogy of the Grand Canyon. You know, so if me and Tom get up here and we go to the edge of the Grand Canyon, and I got to stay to the microphone. I'm sorry. I want to walk over here. But we jump, right? And Tom probably jumped farther than me. But neither one of us is going to get to the end, right? It's not of our own righteousness. Matter of fact, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not. No one's good, right? We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to have a relationship with Him. So if somebody's out there today and is placing your faith in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would consider those things. And if you're online and you have any questions or something, please reach out to us here, and we'd be glad to share that with you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's that simple. So again, folks, I think most people here, you know, we know these things. This isn't like a mind-blowing sermon, right? The point is, let's think where we're at. Let's think, why it is we do what we do. What is our motivation? Are we here because it's routine? Is it here because we grew up doing this and we don't even question it? Or is it because we want to, because we have a true relationship, a tight bond, a binding kinship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have that. You possess that right now if you're saved. So again, let's live like it. Let's realize that truth in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time we've had, Lord. I just ask that some of these things, Lord, I know it's been a blessing to me to look through and really reflect on how I look at stuff. So God, I just ask that you'd just be with the folks today, Lord. Be with those that are going to watch later online. And God, certainly those that are still healing up from COVID and different things like that, Lord, it's a blessing to be saved. It's a blessing to have your word and to have it in our possession, that we're able to look and to learn and to hear from you on a daily basis. So I just ask, God, that you would be with each and every person here as they travel home this afternoon. God, I ask that you'd be with the teen activity later on today, God, that you would bring folks out for that. And we just are excited for what you have in store for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You may...